hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. The world is waking up, and this is the tipping point.
Ladies and gentlemen, Scott McKay here on Patriot Street Fighter. Another spectacular guest. This is one of the battlefield warriors that have been fighting this fight longer than all of us, actually decades, going up against probably the greatest bioweapon she's seen literally in 30 years. And there's a lot of solutions from her operation organization on how to prepare for what's to come with these attacks on humanity that have now reached a fever pitch. We'll see what happens tomorrow, and we got an election coming up, but to launch this thing in proper fashion, let's introduce you to Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, one of those battlefield soldiers that had the balls to go after this massive architecture that's been working against humanity called Big Pharma, allopathic machine. I call them the 21st century killing fields. I don't know how you feel about that, Dr. Tenpenny, but let's talk about how that all started when you were an MD or DO back in the days treating patients. And you're like, you know what? There's bad stuff going on here. We got to bring the force of God back into everything through nature. And that's what you've done. You've had an unbelievable career in that aspect of medicine. So let's just jump off that launch pad right there. How are you?
I'm okay. You know, I'm like you, kind of, you know, road weary and kind of rode hard and put away wet, as they say. I used to re-race horses when I was a kid. I grew up on a farm. My dad was a chiropractor and a sort of a gentleman farmer. And we had a fairly sizable farm that we raised standard bred racehorses, like the sulky racehorses. Wow. And so, and I had my own horse from the time I was probably about 8 or 9. And I always rode bareback. I never rode with a saddle, like ever. So, I mean, ever. And it was, so it was a lot of fun. And so, but you know, you ride. So when I say, you know, rode hard and put away wet, it's always referring to the horses, but it's kind of like us, you know, we go from place to place to place to place. I mean, we were just in Branson 3 days ago and, you know, just, it goes. And just before that was in Pennsylvania, and it's just kind of been a wearying thing. And so like you, you told me before we went live, you've got one more thing that you have to do. And right now I'm pretty well set between now and the end of the year in terms of travel. I might take a little trip somewhere, just me and my dog, over like Thanksgiving or something like that, just to go someplace quiet. And I've got stacks and stacks and stacks of books that I would just love to be able to get a chance to read, you know? But so I might take a reading sabbatical for a couple of days. But, and like we also said, you know, the inbox never stops. And so even, you know, you can like dial back the rheostat, but you can't really turn it off.
Yeah, that's a tough part. And I agree with you. That's, for me, a dream mini vacation would being able to be on my tractor all day and nighttime when sun goes down, have a campfire. I used to do this up in Kings Canyon in California. I'd go up there with a couple guys who fly fish for 2-3 weeks, and I'd take books. They'd go to sleep at like 6:30, 7 o'clock, because the sun comes down the wall, the canyon, you know, you cook your fish and you're hanging out by the fire a little bit, then they hit the tent. I'm like, I got books to read. I have my campfire, read my stack of books. I'd like to get back there again. This point, I kind of feel like an old wet dish rag that you can't even wring out anymore. It's going to fall apart if you wring it too hard. That's kind of where I am right now. But you know what? We're having a blast out here, kicking asses all over the place now. So no complaints on that.
No, and I do think that it's made a difference. You know, Scott, I mean, we've both been at this for a really long time. You know, I've been talking about vaccines and problems associated with vaccines. And yes, all of them are bioweapons, all the way back from when I started talking about this in September of 2000 and sort of made a big splash and got everybody's attention. And now we have different language to describe those childhood vaccines because, you know, we talked about them being toxic and having aluminum and mercury and all these chemicals. Well, now we have a better comparator, and the comparator are the COVID shots, and we never call them vaccines because they're not. They're bioenergetic they are bioterrorism tools is what they really are. Yeah. That they're genetic modification technologies. Well, guess what? All the rest of them are genetic modification technologies too. They just do it from a different way. They don't do it by messenger RNA or by whatever has been concocted in a lab, but they go in and damage the DNA of infants and children from birth when they started adding the hepatitis B vaccine and 100 micrograms of aluminum. And they're in mothers, you know, and they also give a vitamin K shot at birth. And there are about 6 brands on the market of vitamin K. And I believe that 4 of them also have 100 micrograms of aluminum in them. So when that baby is literally less than a couple of hours old, they're getting hit with a hepatitis B shot that has 100 micrograms of mercury and a vitamin K shot, which is a synthetic vitamin K that really does nothing for them but make them sick, plus an additional 100 micrograms of mercury. So these are biological weapons. These are bioterrorism weapons. The hepatitis B vaccine came to market in 1991. So we have an entire generation of kids now that are adults that all got brain damaged at birth from just those 2 shots alone. And now they've added, you know, if you up until a couple weeks ago, I used to be able to say from birth to about 18 years of age, if a child got every dose of every vaccine, that would be 72 shots. Well, now they've added the COVID shot, you know, to the school schedule. So far, I believe they've only added 1, but they've expanded the Prevnar 13, which is like getting 13 shots in 1 injection. They've expanded it to Prevnar 15, and you get 4 of those. So now we've gone from 52 shots of Prevnar injections with Prevnar, which is a strain of bacteria, to 4 times to 60. So we've added 8 more antigens to the mix. Plus we've added this COVID shot to 5-year-olds, and we've now added it to 6-month-old babies. And as we speak, Moderna is doing its clinical trials on 3-month-old babies.
Jesus H. Christ. Like what, how, you know what? I'm glad we're talking about this because people need to hear it from you just like you laid it out. I hear it not quite as in depth as you just said it. And it's, I just can't get my head around this. And we just go in like, yeah, here's me and here's my little baby too. Go ahead and hit the, we don't even have the foresight, foreknowledge, forewarning, anything to just say, what the hell's in this stuff, really? And I'm going to tell you a quick story. I was sitting in a meeting in Irvine 8, 9, 10 years ago, and I was sitting with a guy. His name is John Carr, very wealthy guy, billionaire, self-made. And we're having a meeting. I just met him, and we're talking about chemo for whatever reason. A friend of mine is going to go through this. And he said, he has a good friend named John. His friend John was no longer working because he had maybe some type of stage 4 cancer. So he introduced him to another person, might be Dr. Hall. Maybe he's got one of the clinics down in Mexico and doing different things. Gets him in this natural path to kill this cancer. So he went that route. Within 2 months, he's back to work, right? He's back to work. About 2 months after that, John Carr tells me, he got a call from his best friend, John, in the hospital to come in. What are you doing in the hospital? Just come on in. I want to talk to you. So he goes to the hospital, meets his friend. Why is he in there? Because he's getting set up to start a chemotherapy protocol. He's back to work, feeling fantastic. He says, what the hell are you doing? You are getting, you're better. You're back to work. Why would you go down this path? He said, John, I can't take the stress anymore and the pressure. My wife and my daughter are relentless, just continuously pounding me to get into this chemo and radiation protocol, and I can't take it anymore. 2 months, he's dead. 2 months. John pulled the oncologist aside. He told me, one of the questions he asked him, he said, let me ask you a question. He said, this chemotherapy, he said, if this was your wife in his condition, would you put this stuff in her body? So they're forced by law to do it. And he asked him, is it true that this stuff is made in laboratories with these guys wearing hazmat suits? And he said, yes. Think of the fucking insanity of this. Think of the insanity of this. Killed his friend, basically, right in front of him.
And the other thing about oncologists that most people don't know, it is the only subspecialty in all of medicine that I'm aware of that gets paid per dosage of chemotherapy that they administer.
Oh my God.
So it's like, an alternative medicine clinic. I mean, you know, the doctors, you know, they get paid if they give like an IV therapy of vitamin C or of, you know, minerals or vitamins, something that's good for you. But oncologists get paid tens of thousands of dollars per chemotherapy dose that they give. And I'll give you an example about that. I had a patient, this was quite a few years ago now, that she had a breast cancer and she had had surgery. And she had come to see me because she wanted to get some tests done before she started into chemotherapy. And she said, I just know in my spirit, I just have to do this chemotherapy. It's like, okay, well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to see three different oncologists to get three different opinions. And this is what I want you to ask them. I want you to ask this question. And some of you guys who are listening who are going through or going to go into chemo or have friends or family members that do, write these questions down. The questions that you need to ask them is how few of drugs do I need to take for the shortest period of time and the smallest dose that you think will be effective against this cancer? How few of drugs, one versus 10, I mean, what is the fewest number of drugs and the smallest dose for the shortest period of time that you as an oncologist, as a professional, think would do the job to treat this cancer? She said, that's reasonable. Yes, I will go do that. So she made an appointment with three different oncologists and asked those three questions. How few are drugs, the shortest period of time, the smallest dose. I personally, Scott, was shocked when she came back to tell me. It ranged from one oncologist said, well, you need these four drugs daily for 6 weeks, down to you need one drug three times a week and another drug once a week for 8 weeks. Now think about the massive, four drugs every day. So, and so just the sheer number of drugs, the differences between the smallest and the largest. And I don't remember the exact numbers that she told me about the doses and things like that. But what was so shocking to me as a physician, I thought there would be a little bit of variability, like just maybe the difference between four drugs and three, and maybe the dose would be just a little bit smaller, a little bit higher. I thought that if a person goes to an oncologist with a type of cancer, let's say a breast cancer, let's say a stage two breast cancer, not metastatic, stage two breast cancer, which means it's just barely through the cell walls into the other cells around the tissue. I thought there was like some sort of a book, like a protocol book that you pull down off the shelf and you flip over to, oh, let me see, breast cancer, stage two, here's the recipe. I thought that the cancer industry was standardized like that. If it was, and it didn't matter if it was brain cancer, colon cancer, lung cancer, and you go through all the stuff to get the staging on your lymph nodes, and you do all of these different things, and you get PET scans to see if it's spread and all this stuff. It's like, okay, you get all this stuff together and you make this diagnosis that this is adenocarcinoma of the lung, stage two, mets to one bone. Okay, that's your official diagnosis. So you pull out the book and you look down the book and there's the standardized protocol, the recipe that you do for that cancer. And it wouldn't matter which oncologist you went to because they all did it the same. It's absolutely not true. It depends. You can get, I mean, there's no standardized recipe. It all depends on the oncologist, on how many drugs they want to give and how much they can make off of each drug. That's why the newer drugs are like $50,000 a dose on some of them, because they're so expensive, you know, and things like that. So to me, that was the proof of the pudding. And I would say that was maybe 8 years ago, somewhere in that time frame. I mean, time, maybe a little bit longer now with COVID sort of messes with your brain calendar, right? But I will never forget that. And I've tried to say that as many times as I am given the opportunity to talk about it. So people know, I mean, you can go get five different opinions and you're going to get five different everythings for the same diagnosis of cancer, which to me is really scary. And to me, it also makes it be like what you need to do on the prevention side to try to prevent from getting cancer, and on the treatment side that maybe you want to go see more of a holistic oncologist. And one of the things I will say about that too, is that if you're seeing an integrative doctor or a holistic doctor for your cancer, I think you should only see someone who at least 90% of their practice is just cancer. You know, even better if it's 100%, because there's no margin for error when you're doing things like vitamin C and insulin potentiation and all the different tools that are in the toolbox to treat cancer from an integrative perspective. But there's no margin for error. I mean, if you mess up, the person dies, right? You got to do it right. And you got to be on top of your game, and you got to use the most advanced tools and things like that that are available. So you need, when you're reading your medical literature, you're reading just about how to treat integrative cancer therapies and the greatest in those things on the market. I would not advocate in any way going to just a holistic practitioner who, yeah, we treat cancer here. We do high dose vitamin C, and that's about all that they really know about it, because they also do bioidentical hormones. They do acupuncture. They do pellets. They do treat allergies. They treat, you know, all kinds of food things and whatever else that they do in a holistic practice, which is like a family practice, but they do more holistic and integrative things. And oh yeah, we also treat cancer here. I would advise your listeners to go see somebody else, because if you're going to treat cancer holistically or integratively, that needs to be your sole focus, because you need to be really, really good at it.
Yeah. You know, I had a friend of mine, Sherry, that this lady had a triple negative read breast cancer, and apparently it's pretty aggressive. I went ahead and did a mastectomy. They wanted to start chemo and radiation, and I sat down with her. She was in her early 70s, pretty good condition. And I sat down with her and had this discussion. I said, look, hear me out, okay? And then whatever you choose to do, I'll support you. And I sat down and explained this to her, and I said, look, if you go down this route, okay, they're going to kill you, plain and simple, one way or another. This stuff's going to destroy your immune system. If it beats it back here, it's going to cause an open door for something else. I said, and I sent her this video that I had picked up somewhere. It's about an hour. It's this PhD nutritional biochemist speaking somewhere, big screens on each side of the stage. He had a personality and he was very funny. It was great to listen to. And it's called The Big Fat Fiasco. They broke it down into 1 hour into five pieces, like 12 minutes, 13 minutes, whatever, five of these. And I sent it to her. I said, I want you to watch this. But I said, here's plain and simple. I said, the one way you can kill cancer is to starve it out. The only fuel supply it has, its only food is glucose. Shut off the glucose. The human body is different. The human body, mine, operates way better on ketones, on saturated fat. I kill all the carbs. I wipe out all the carbohydrates in my world, except green leafy stuff, you know, those kind of plants. But my energy comes from saturated fat. I eat whole eggs. I don't eat bacon, things like that anymore. I just don't like the taste of it. But, you know, avocados, olives for fat, things with high fat in them, even coconut oil and grass-fed butter in my coffee, blending it, you know, heavy cream, no sugar, that kind of stuff. But an Escut, I can't even imagine how many grams of fat are in it. It's probably 200. I go out the door with that. But so I eat like that. I eat the protein that I need, of course, throughout the day. And, you know, I drop the weight that I always need to drop when I, you know, put too much on, strips me down. I always have energy. But I explained this, sir, that when you have, this is an energy source for me physically, Science has shown it. My energy is fantastic. My brain, your brain operates way better on ketones and glucose. And I can actually measure that in everything I do. We had an online test called it was a memory capacity cognitive speed test. It was amazing. We did this online. You could prove it to people in a couple of weeks. But I said, starve it out, become fortified, build that army, build that immune system by going to a high level naturopath who, you know, understands this. And she found one in Santa Barbara. I was in LA at the time. So he told her exactly what I told her. Here's what happens. 18 months later, completely cancer free, no chemo, no radiation. It's like, there you go. Perfect first clinical case I had, because nobody ever listens to that. But unfortunately, she went back to the old habits that created the same environment. What do you think happened? Comes roaring back, chemo, radiation, neuropathy in hands, neuropathy in feet, has to deal with that miserable condition every day. And there's ways to do it. God's pharmacy is out there, and we can, you know better than I do, we could wipe out all these diseases with God's pharmacy.
Absolutely. And I want to circle back to something that you said about the first friend with, you know, your friend John and his friend John, you know, that finally got succumbed to the pressure. You know, it's interesting how people succumb to the pressure when they're not the ones that are going through it. You know, like the wife and the daughter can put on all this pressure because they didn't have to lay in the bed and have to go through it. I mean, I think that's just a real word, really something to think about. And we can talk about that a little bit more with these COVID shots too, and how, you know, family members pressure other family members to be injected with these experimental technologies, you know, just because they want them to also be in the club. But one thing I want to say about also about if you're choosing, if you have one of your listeners or some of your listeners are listening and you're trying to make a decision between treating your cancer conventionally, holistically, or a combination of the two, you know, somewhere in the middle, do your homework. I mean, really read, talk to people, like interview several doctors. There's no big rush. This is not a 5-alarm fire. You're not bleeding to death. You're not choking. You're not suffocating. You've got time. You've got months. I mean, before they even got to the point where they could diagnose this cancer, it's been growing in your body a minimum of 7 years. It just has. I mean, some fast growing cancers, maybe 3 years, but it's been growing for a while. So you've got time to make an intelligent decision about what you want to do in your body. And once you find the thing that you think it fits right for you, pray about it, meditate on it, feel what it feels like in your heart, ask the Lord to like tell you the direction that you need to go. And then once you decide, you and your spouse or your partner, you decide, this is what I'm going to do. This is the course of treatment I'm going to take. Mm-hmm. Then put a black box around it and don't waffle from it. And tell everybody in your world, everybody, saying this is what I've decided to do. This is how I'm going to do it. And unless you're here to support my decision and support what I've decided to do, then this topic is off the table. Because the last thing you need once you've made that decision is confusion, is waffling back and forth like, oh, maybe I should, or I should have done this or whatever. Stop it. Because your thoughts are things, words have power, and emotions are really important when you're treating a cancer or a really chronic disease. And so that applies not only to cancer, but any other type of chronic illness that you may have. Stay the course. And when your friends and family members who love you dearly and they want to give you advice and they, you know, they think they know better than anybody else in the world and they want to like dump it all in your head in one conversation, you know, you say, you know what? I really love you and I really appreciate that you care about me, but this is what I'm going to do. And unless you're here to support that decision, this conversation is off the table. We can talk about the weather. We can talk about sports. We can talk about Christmas is coming. We can talk about anything else you want. But we are not talking about this topic unless you're here to 100% support the decision that I've made. And that keeps the confusion out. It keeps the woulda, coulda, shoulda out. You know, you're going to stay the course all the way through to the end.
Yeah. I would highly recommend, I'm going to push back on Sherry's philosophy here. If your decision is to go full-blown chemotherapy and radiation, I'm going to say, listen to some of those people that are bringing other solutions to you.
Well, hopefully you've been thinking, you've heard, listened to those people ahead of time, already, right?
Yeah.
And you know, so you've done that. You've listened to I remember this was quite a few years ago. It was a really good friend of mine that his wife was diagnosed with breast cancer. And he said, Sherry, in my living room, I have a fireplace with a big hearth across the top. And he said, within less than 3 weeks of when his wife was diagnosed with breast cancer, that entire hearth was filled with 50 different books that friends and family had sent him. And then all the different things that were coming in on text messages and emails and try this and go to see this doctor and do this and do that. He said it was so overwhelming that we sat in the living room and just froze, just absolutely froze, because, you know, which one of those books was the solution for us, you know, and they made a good decision in terms of, we're just going to take our time. We're going to thank everybody for sending stuff, but please don't send any more stuff. And they went through and they spent about 6 weeks and they made a plan, and it was all alternative. It was plant-based diet. It was supplements. It was detox. It was all these different things, because they weren't into all the conventional stuff anyways, but there were 50 different diet books and holistic things and detox things and colon cleanses and all this. And it was just overwhelming. And I'll never forget him saying that to me, that with all of our good intentions, we can literally overwhelm whatever's going on there. And so I'm just encouraging people to take your time. You don't, you know, what happens in conventional medicine is that, you know, you go in with a, I don't know, a bellyache, and they end up, oh, we're going to do this test and then this and da, 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 da. And now they find cancer. And now you're set on the fast conveyor belt. You know, okay, now that we found it, we have to hurry up. You have to go do this. You have to do that. They make it sound like if you don't start this chemotherapy within the next 48 hours, you're going to die, because now that we found this, we've got to do this. I've had women tell me that they went in for a mammogram. They found something suspicious. The next day they were there for a biopsy. The next day they were there for a lumpectomy. And by Friday, they were already on chemo and radiation. I mean, like from Monday to Friday, like the fast conveyor belt. So if anybody listening to this, if you get diagnosed with cancer, the very first thing you need to do is just sit down and take a deep breath. So don't go into big fear mode as best you can. I know it sounds really scary, but not all cancers are deadly, and there are a lot of options. Mm-hmm. Sit down and take a deep breath, and don't get bullied into being on the fast conveyor belt.
What do you have to say about all these people that, are now, you know, acquiesce to these, to the 21st century killing fields, where they were, you know, how many people have family members that were murdered in the hospitals? They wouldn't let them out, wouldn't let them see him. No remdesivir. Too bad. We're giving them remdesivir. Do not put a ventilator on them. I don't give shit what you say. We're putting a ventilator on them. What are you hearing from the medical field out there? Are you having any doctors, any MDs out there that are reaching out to you and saying, holy crap, we're having all these deaths coming in, all these unexplainable heart attacks and kids and whatnot from forcing this stuff on people? Is there a shockwave out there yet among the medical community?
Not even like a little bit.
Really?
Not even a little bit. And the ones who say, yeah, I see it, but I'm not going to say anything about it, there's probably a lot of those who decided that they, when they said, took an oath to first do no harm and to only put their patients first. And once they find out that this isn't working, to stop it, not even a little bit, because the love of money is the root of all evil. Mm-hmm. And they, oh, I got three kids in college. I, you know, I can't say anything. I can't risk my paycheck.
Yeah.
Well, you could just stop pushing the shot. No, because with electronic medical records, you got to mark that you've counseled them and that you have recommended these COVID shots and they refuse and all these other things that need to be documented. I mean, not even a little bit. That's, I mean, it's just the same. It's the same, you know, a couple hundred of us that have been talking about it for the last 2 years. Yeah. I don't see anybody that's like running up and standing next to me, or running up and standing next to Peter McCullough and Ryan Cole and, you know, the FLCCC doctors. You know, I don't see anybody running up next to them and going, you were right, I'm joining your team. You're absolutely right. I need to come and support you. And I should have listened to you a long time ago, but I'm here now and I'm here to support you, because we've got to stop killing people with these shots. Mm-hmm. I mean, the latest guy, that cardiologist out of the UK, Asim, whatever his last name is, you know, that his dad died of COVID shots. And then he decided to take a deep dive, and he wrote like a 2000 page something or another summary or something like that. It was really a lot. And he came clean. He came forward. He said, listen, I was wrong. He said, I was a big advocate for this. And I really thought that these people who were saying all these things about these shots were just conspiracy theorists. But when my dad got, who was an internationally renowned cardiologist, took two shots and died of blood clots. I'm pretty sure it was AstraZeneca, but it could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was AstraZeneca. I mean, he was just devastated. And he said, maybe I should look into this. And he did. And he took, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 months of just plowing through what's already out there, Scott. I mean, that's the part that's so disturbing to me. It's not as though there isn't hundreds and hundreds of papers that have been published in the last 2 years showing that these shots do not stop transmission. They don't keep you from getting sick. They don't keep you from being in the hospital. And they absolutely cause death instead of lowering the death rate. I mean, the most recent numbers that came out of the UK like 2 weeks ago now say that if you got the shots at the beginning of when they first came out in the beginning of 21, 1 in 73 people are dead. There more than 1,000 people a week are dying in the UK from these shots, from the side effects of these things. 1 in 73. I mean, how soon is it going to be 1 in 50? And when in another year is it going to be 1 in 2? Look to your right, look to your left. One of those people are going to be gone. And I really believe, and you've probably heard me say this, that sadly, everything that I predicted and said was going to happen when I said it in March and April of 2020, even before the shot came out in December of 2020, and then in February of 21, every single thing I said was going to happen that I got called a tinfoil hat, conspiracy theorist, crazy nut job, you know, stupid osteopathic doctor that just does that, that thinks that shot vaccines cause autism, you know, all this other stuff. Every single thing I've said has happened. And I'm not happy about that. I wish that it wouldn't have happened. And we're going to see more tsunami of death. And I think if this turns out, right now, it seems to be a pretty mild winter, at least up till now. I mean, it's November 5th and it was 75 degrees here in Cleveland yesterday, you know, and last night I slept with the door cracked open in November. You know, it's like really super nice. But that could turn on like a nanosecond and we could have a blizzard, you know, but people running out to get their flu shots that we don't know what's in them. They say that some of the flu shots already have messenger RNA in them. I don't know that for sure. The last time I looked, they were still doing investigative studies on that. But even if you just get the run-of-the-mill garden variety influenza vaccine and you're getting a multi-dose flu shot, or you're getting it from a vial that's a multi-dose vial, you're going to get a dose of mercury with that. And you're going to put that on top. If you've gotten the COVID shots, whether you've had one, two, a booster or two boosters, and then you throw in a flu shot, the incidence of what's going to happen in your heart with the myocarditis, the arrhythmias, what's happening in your brain in terms of like blood clot, strokes, dementia, Alzheimer's, Lewy body dementia, all these different things is going. I think that by spring, the great culling will become so obvious that people can no longer deny it.
Unfortunately, that's what it's going to take, in my opinion, that we're going to have to get to where they're stacking bodies like firewood because we're so damn asleep that it just, I was talking to Dr. Sandra and a few other people. We're having a lunch meeting today and we're talking about the absurdity of the mask and all that stuff. And I said, we're comparing stories. I said, the one that got me was the dude at a red light across the intersection facing me. He's got a mask on, but no helmet on a motorcycle, right? You're like, and then followed up with another guy. I saw like this. He's got a mask on. He's pulling it down, hitting his cigarette, blowing out, pulling it up. He just kept doing this till the cigarette was gone. I'm like, I don't even know. How do we, there obviously is that whole segment of society they're already over the cliff. They just haven't hit the bottom yet to be gone. But that kind of mindset to me is, it's not even.
I'm going to use that one, Scott.
Set this shit up around me. They're just forking with me to God to get a reaction. Well, let's look at Scott's face when we do this one with this guy. I swear. Oh my gosh. Well, in the solution world to what is coming at us, because obviously being a weapon launched by them on us, humanity, yet another, they got more lined up from the economic warfare side of things, bringing down economies, stealing all of our stuff for pennies on the dollar. We see that's coming again. And I know you put together a great program, and the simplicity of some of the of these was really cool to see in our last show. We talked about your boot camp and some of the solutions you have for your boot camp. Let's give the audience, we got a little bit of time here yet. Let's talk about your whole boot camp operation and how, you know, what it's comprised of and how people can become a part of that. Because nothing, in my opinion, is more important in tough times than having some level of comfort, stress-free, that if something goes sideways, you know what to do. Terror comes when you have no solution. You don't even know how to properly think about a bad situation. It just came down on your town, your whole country, whatever. And even if you're, you know, you're not Daniel Boone, you're at least comfortable because you have solutions to basic problems that come when we have economic chaos. So let's talk about the boot camp, how you started that. I believe that was early in the year that you created boot camp, wasn't it?
Well, we've been doing boot camps since 2017.
Okay.
We did our original boot camps were Mastering Vaccine Info. It was a 6-week course that we started with. What about smallpox? What about polio? You know, what, you know, we started with those because, you know, if you're new to the conversation, that's where it always starts from. Then we talked about safe and effective and what that really means. Then we taught people how to read a package insert, because we always tell people, go read the package insert. Well, if you're not in the medical field, you open up that great big thing and it's pretty overwhelming. So we broke it down into sections and taught people which section consistently on every vaccine and every drug that you should go and look at. No, by the way, it's section number 11. I'll just throw that in there, because that's where it lists all the ingredients. So we did that. And then we talked about the ramp up of the schedule. I mean, what that looked like from 1991 and forward. And then in between each of those didactic sections, my business partner, Matt Hutt would talk about, he was a language expert and has done things like hypnotherapy, and he's working on his PhD in psychology. And so he would teach people how to language that without heat and how to get your conversations across so you could hear. And basically it was about taking information and making statements. You would give that same information out as a question. What do you think about? Have you heard about? Have you considered? Have you gone these places? And we did those in, let me see, we did in 17, 18, 19, So we did seven of those. And then in 2020, we did a boot camp that was on the myth of the mask, the nonsense of the social distancing, all the breakdown of the fraud of the PCR testing. And then all of 21, I talked about the 4D mechanisms of injury of how the COVID shots can make you sick or kill you, wrote two eBooks about that, did two webinars on that. So in the beginning of 22, Matt said, you know what I think people are really needing now? They've got the vaccine information. They've got the COVID information. Now they need to prepare for extreme situations. And we all talk about prepping a little bit, like you should have food and water, but what does that really mean? How much food? What kind of food? How much water? And what else do you need to prepare in case of a natural disaster? So in the spring, we put together this prepping survival for natural disasters and extreme situations. And in the spring, we talked about summery things, you know, what would you do in the summertime if there was tornadoes and things like that? Well, so now that it's wintertime, we sort of change gears a little bit, and we talked about how we're going to have common concerns for all types of survival scenarios, like between earthquakes and tornadoes. And we just went through Hurricane Ian in Florida. And, you know, my assistant, Michelle, you know, she and Amanda, two of the people that work for me, they were like right at ground zero down there during Hurricane Ian. And Michelle had taken the prepper course, of course, and she was really prepared. But she said that she learned a lot by living through that experience that really needs to be more so in your bug out bag and in your prepper kit. So actually the enrollment actually is still going on until tonight at midnight. In fact, tonight, if you've enrolled already and you're listening to this, tonight at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time, I'm going to do an introduction to the boot camp and walk you through your binder, walk you through the portal and how to like get the most out of this information. And then there will be a homework assignment for tomorrow. Since tomorrow we're going to be talking about earthquake survival in the homework, but tomorrow is, you know, as you know, a big day in our country. And we're hoping that the red tsunami really wins and doesn't get hijacked and stolen like the last time. So election day, Tuesday, everybody needs to go out and vote. I mean, because all politics is local and you really need to vote for your local things. Mm-hmm. And then on Wednesday night everybody that's enrolled in the class will get together and we'll have a Zoom meeting with all the students, me and Matt. Matt will talk about prepping and surviving earthquakes and structure collapse. So that could be from fires, that could be from bombs, that could be for all sorts of things. We'll talk about when things are falling down around your head, what you need to do about that. And then on Thursday, the materials that will be posted will be winter survival information. And on Friday night, we'll be doing the whole class again. We'll be on a Zoom talking about prepping and surviving winter blizzards and storms. And since we're getting into that season around here, you know, the seasons down south are a little bit different. But, you know, you've got friends and family members that go to snowy areas, or you may go out to Colorado to go skiing. What's going to happen if there's an avalanche? What's going to happen if you get stuck in the middle of nowhere and you're driving across Montana? I mean, what do you need to do and what you need to have with you for that? And then week two on Monday, we're going to talk about building a bug out bag that covers all scenarios. We're going to talk about water filtration systems and treatments that are portable. We're going to be talking about whole house generators. We're going to be talking about what you can do with solar panels and different things that you need to have. That will be put into your portal for you to read for videos and homework assignments that'll be in your portal on Monday of the following week. Tuesday night, we will have a all class discussion on Tuesday night with Matt leading it about prepping and surviving social unrest, rioting, and the potential of a nuclear attack. So we're going to talk about that on Tuesday night. Wednesday night will be in the material for you to review on the pros and cons of popular types of generators and how to shop for you, because you may not need a whole house generator. You may live in an apartment, or you may live in a high rise. I mean, what sorts of things can you shop for you for electrical surviving and things about lighting, heating, and those sorts of options? That will be in your class portal on Wednesday. And then Thursday night, the last night of the class. So we have 2 weeks of class, all kinds of material during the week, three live episodes, one tonight, one on Wednesday night, one on Friday night this week, and then next week on Tuesday and Thursday. And the last Zoom on Thursday night, we're going to have prepping and surviving hurricanes and tornadoes with a roundtable discussion with me, Cookie, Michelle, Matt, and quite possibly a couple of other guests, including Amanda, who was actually in St. Petersburg during Hurricane Ian. And there'll be quizzes and follow-ups, and you'll get bonus materials, which are canning videos. There's a mini library, a video library that's there, and you'll have full access. You'll have full access to all this material for a full year. Get access to the portal for $65 a year. That helps us pay our hosting fees. But you won't have to worry about that until way off in the future. So if you can't join us for those live calls on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday of this week, and Tuesday and Thursday of next week, they'll all be recorded. They'll all be in your portal. You cannot download the videos onto your phone. You have to log into the portal and watch them, but there's a lot of downloadable material. In fact, Matt put together for everybody, two different manuals, and the manuals are really super important. One is that you make an inventory of everything that you would take with you, and you know exactly where it is. So in case of an emergency, all you really have to do is go pull that manual, that three-ring binder off the shelf, and everything has already been done for you when you've been calm and you can think about it, and you know where the things are, and you know what's in your bug out bags, and it's all cataloged. Then there's a second manual of the people you need to call and their phone numbers, and maybe even a place where you put in maps. So like if things are detoured because there's lines down or bridges are blown up or things like that, how do you get to your friends and family? We're also going to talk about satellite phones and why everyone should have a satellite phone and pay the monthly bill, the monthly fee, and think about it as an insurance policy. I mean, you don't have it in your house and pay it for 20 years, a lot of money for lots of years for insurance on your house, and then get really mad because your house doesn't burn down and you don't get a chance to use it. I mean, it doesn't really work like that. So satellite phones are something that everyone should have, whether it's going through some sort of a doomsday scenario or not. I mean, just if you're traveling and going from one part of the country to another, a satellite phone, it may be very important for safety and for security. But the downside of a satellite phone, well, the good side is that with a satellite phone, you can call other satellite phones or you can call cell phones or landlines. The downside is you have to be outside to use it. I mean, the antenna has to hit the satellite. Mm-hmm. And so if you can't get outside because you're in the middle of a tornado or a hurricane, or you're hunkered down because there's been bombs or explosions or some sort of war thing going on, and you have to stay in the house, there's a second piece of equipment that we advocate for, and it's called a bevy. And that is text only, but you can do it from deep inside your house. You can do it from inside of a bunker. And so you can have this inside of your house to be able to contact friends and family members to let them know where you are and to let them know if you're safe or if you're injured or you need help. And we'll talk about both of those extensively in the boot camp. But if you want to learn more about that right now, you can just go to drtenpenny.com and right at the top, under one of the tabs, I think it's under the education tab, Michelle actually did an interview with Eric, who is one of the top experts in the whole country about satellite phones and satellite security. And she did an interview with him, and we're going to actually have him as part of the boot camp, and he's going to come on and talk about how important it is to have satellite phones. And we have some really special deals that are going on with these satellite phones. You get the phone for free if you sign up with a 2-year monthly contract. And so it's like the satellite phone is like a $700 deal that you can get the phone for free. And I think the bevy is like $400, like $399. You can get that for free if you sign up for the pay plan. So all of that stuff, I mean, all of that stuff, you can get that entire 2-week course, everything that I talked about, you have access to it for a year. You can watch all the videos over and over again. We'll have it done right before Thanksgiving, so you can share all the information with friends and family that you might be traveling to see over the holidays. You can tell them and help them build their bug out bag and help them create their own manual. The course is $299. You get that every night for us for 2 weeks. You get 5 nights of videos, and then the rest of the stuff's in the material in the portal for self-study. So I think it's a really, really good bargain. And you have to sign up by midnight tonight to be able to get that.
Well, we're going to, folks. Obviously, there's not many hours left in the evening to make that move. So I'm going to encourage you to do that. And we can get that link up on sherrytenpenny.com, or is it Dr. Tenpenny?
Well, you can go to it's drtenpenny.com, or it's learning for you, learning the number 4YOU.org, learningforyou.org. And on either one of those sites, there's a little pop-up down in the corner that you click on it, and you'll see a video that Matt and I did. And to introduce people to Matt that don't know Matt and why he is uniquely qualified to be an expert on prepping and survival and natural disaster things from all the different things that he's done in his life. I mean, he's been canning since he was 7 years old. His grandmother taught him that skill. He's been in the military. He's been all over the world. He's been a defense contractor. He's done a lot of stuff. And, you know, and he's done a lot of survival things and survival training on his own. And so he is really uniquely qualified to put this course together and teach people. I just kind of go along with for the ride, actually, because I don't know a lot about this. I know a lot more since I did the spring boot camp on prepping, but this is really important stuff, particularly when we've got, you know, rumors of wars and things like that kind of hanging over our head with this nuclear thing and earthquakes and hurricanes and tornadoes and weather wars that are going on. I think to be able to be prepared is to be the best possible place you can be.
Yeah. So folks, you'll be able to pick up at either of these links. Just look down in the description below to grab those. There'll be hyperlink. Just click it on, get right over there and purchase your participation in this particular boot camp. Very valuable. Sherry Tenpenny, once again, thanks for taking the time out of your maniacally busy life and businesses. You're on 8 of them, I think, now, to come on Patriot Street Fighter. And absolutely great to always have you. Like I said before, you are titanic in the world going up against these injustices, and you've been doing it longer than virtually you and Christy and Northrop are doing this longer than anybody out there. There's a lot of people coming out since COVID, but you guys have been doing it when nobody cared, and that's pretty powerful. But much love to you. Thanks for coming here in Patriot Straight Fighter again. And ladies and gentlemen, Patriot Street Fighter out.
Hey, Patriot Street Fighter, Scott McKay here, coming to you on a Saturday, Dallas, Texas. It's the 3rd September, nice, bright, sunny day. Not getting as much rain as I was hoping we would get. But anyways, thought I'd put out a quick message on the status of our operations, economic warfare. Some of you have heard about Operation Tomahawk and the significant inroads we are making in creating movement where we, the people, can join it without having to basically leave our home, where we can take the fight to our enemy. And what exactly is that fight? Who's the enemy? I come from the wellness industry. And I remember back in 25 years in the wellness industry, formed a company back in around 2008 with a number of investing partners, a wellness-based multimedia company. And I had some very high-level investors in terms of education, multiple PhDs, MDs, et cetera. Were partners of mine. I started to learn a lot about things that I didn't even know in the wellness side of the world, specifically food production. And of course, I've talked about the disease rate skyrocketing in this country over the last 30, 40 years. And I've zeroed in on only one aspect of it, and that was corporate food production. Massive corporations buying up all the farms, producing non-nutrient dense foods because they don't do things that are healthy for the soil, make sure nutrients transition from the soil into produce and into our bodies and keeps our immune system functioning. Well, there came to my attention another aspect of how they've gotten to this point where diseases run rampant in the United States, all across America, sickness, disease. And that is from the corporate conglomerate, the global corporate conglomerate that sells us home consumable products. Like who? Like Procter & Gamble, Johnson & Johnson, Unilever, Kraft, Nestle, Coca-Cola, PepsiCo. You think, well, what does Pepsi have to do with their Coca-Cola? What you learn is there's 11 corporations that bought up about 225 to 250 of all the brand name products you and I know about, what we grew up with over the last many decades. All these brand name companies used to be independent. They've all been bought up by these 11 corporations. And these 11 corporations are controlled by BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street, the three enemy targets of we the people, backed by their World Economic Forum. When I saw this and what was presented to me, along with a company in America, a 37-year-old, multi-billion-dollar-a-year factory consumer direct operation Patriot company that manufactures all the things that are in my kitchen sink cupboard, in my bathroom sink cupboard, laundry room, bathroom, throughout the house, all the products that we consume from these big box retailers like Walmart and Target that we were herded into without any choice because of the bioweapon attack that destroyed millions of mom and pop businesses and small businesses around the country because they had an agenda. Well, here's how I saw it. All these companies are knowingly selling us poison and convincing us it's okay to consume these things, like Johnson & Johnson being sued twice for putting asbestos in baby powder. When you hear things like this, you finally at some point have to wake up. What the hell is going on? Well, in my research, investigation, and what we decided to do was create another ground of attack against this criminal corporate power that's not just destroying the country, but they're destroying the world and humanity. They have the research that they do, their own double-blind, placebo-controlled, their gold standard of testing and studies, peer-reviewed, third-party peer-reviewed papers on the chemicals and poisons that they use, and they convince us with billions or trillions of marketing and advertising that it's okay to consume all these products and we'll be fine. Well, when you come from my seat in the wellness industry for 25 years, and I've been around the industry since I was about 20, and I'm 57. I've seen the big picture from 80,000 feet. These people are killers. They know what they're selling us when they can take the same research from natural plants and produce products. Of course, they can't patent it and charge, you know, billions for it, just like the big pharma industry. They could do what our partner company does. Natural products, natural ingredients, harmless for people or the environment. So we decide to launch a new operation here at Patriot Street Fighter. Information warfare has been the playing field we've been on for 2.5 years now, and we're launching a new front of attack. It's economic warfare. We're going after these companies, and we're going to give them the tomahawk on their blood supply. We're cutting off their cash flow. And how do you do that? Go check out Operation Tomahawk at this website, tomahawkswitch.com.
tomahawkswitch.com. Go have a look. You'll see a video in there. If you like what you hear or see or read, you say, you know what? I can do that. I can get in this fight. Not the school board kind of person or the protests or the city councils or running for office locally or whatever, because we have to do this at the we the people level, the consent of the governed level. We have to do it at our level to take our country back. How do we do it? We shut off their blood supply. We stop giving these killers our money that they're using to kill us. So how do we do it? Shift to a Patriot company producing natural products. We launched this 5 months ago, and the $2 billion a year company, the founder reached out and wanted to know what we were doing, how we were doing it, how is it possible to explode something this fast in such a short amount of time to the level we have. And I explained why. These are battlefield soldiers, we the people, getting on the battlefield to fight this global criminal power that's taken over our country and our planet. And the people are rising and they're fighting back. This is a way that every American can get into this fight. And you owe it to yourself and you owe it to your country to take a look at Operation Tomahawk, because what it is doing, even with my level of optimism, has blown me away. And we're just getting started. So go check out tomahawkswitch.com. Have a deep look. Chat with somebody who will, you'll get a text from an automated system, by the way. It'll be a text from an automated system representing me, because we couldn't bring thousands and thousands of people to this battlefield with me and one person. So it'll give you an opportunity to connect with somebody, make a calendar appointment. Somebody can call you and say, here, here's what it is. Do you want to make the switch? Do you want to stop buying all this poison from these killers and at same cost competitive or cheaper than Walmart or Target and natural products that are better? They'll help you do it. So again, check it out. Tomahawkswitch.com. You owe it to you and you owe it to your family and you owe it to the country to take a look and find a way that you can get on this battlefield, on any battlefield, along with the consent of the governed, to take back our country from these killers and the politicians that they own. Come and check out Operation Tomahawk. Thanks for taking the time. Patriot Street Fighter out.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given right, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.